Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my regular and fabulous worms, Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Great to be here another Tuesday evening and winding down the season, up the season. Which is it? What's going on in your garden? 527-486-8166, KVNF now, or you can send an email, worm@kvnf.org. And that weather out there with the smoke is kind of surreal, the weather in general. Yeah. But
Yeah.
I'm over it, personally.
Over it. And you're out of water.
And I'm out of water. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is going to affect what your plans
it's
for?
It's a double whammy. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm going to keep, you know, some of the main things alive. But other than that, the tomato and beans and, yeah.
Keep those alive.
Collards. I keep my collards alive. Mm-hmm. I put 21 half pints of pesto up.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
21 cups of frozen pesto, so that's
Whoa,
great.
That's great.
Yeah. And we'll just keep going from there, because then that's just, that was half of the arugula patch.
Okay, so you've got some nice arugula this year.
Yeah. So there's the other half of the patch, and then the sorrel, and then the basil, and then by then the sun golds will be going off. They're already going off, but they'll be double time going off. So yeah. It'll be sun golds and the parsley will be ready, sun golds and parsley. And I decided I'm going to harvest enough yellow squash to make a big batch of yellow squash soup. And then that's it. Just pull the plants.
Soup to eat or soup to store?
I'll store it.
Store it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'll probably make, you know, a couple, 3-4 gallons.
Sure, big old batch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah, good. And then, you know, it's c'est la vie time.
Yeah, starting the fall cleanup.
Starting the fall cleanup.
You know, as it goes along, you know, as things come out, then I'm not going to plant anything else.
Oh, yeah. What are you putting in again? That was the barley?
Buckwheat.
Buckwheat.
Yeah, I'll be planting buckwheat in most places as things come out. And then in September, early September, also I have a field pea, a yellow field pea, and I'll put that in instead of the buckwheat.
It's cover crop.
Right. When we say don't plant anymore, we mean like your basic vegetables, but you're going to want to do your garlic still.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Things like that. So. Yeah.
But garlic's not till October.
Yeah.
And since we just mentioned garlic,
yeah.
This is the time for you people out there that haven't bought garlic for planting to buy it.
Get on the stick.
Because if you wait till October, there's not going to be any available. So get in the catalogs or the stores that sell it.
Right. And it'll be real limited.
Yeah.
You'll have to settle for something else. So if you've really got an idea of what you want, you should go get it.
Find it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good advice.
I'm going to start a lot of, I have a lot of elephant garlic, you know, those little hard pieces that form on the
side. Sides, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have a whole bunch of those. Mm-hmm. And then my elephant garlic didn't do real well because it was in the shade and it got too much water, I think. And something ran through the patch and bent everything down, like a cat or something.
Some critter.
Yeah. Some critter. So I'm going to do that. So I'm going to be reinvesting in my stash of elephant garlic. Uh-huh.
Changing it up just a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll plant those little nugget things. And what I'll get next year is the perfect little one thing globe, one clove. That'll look like about the size of a golf ball.
Yeah.
And then you plant those, and then you get your elephant garlic. So
nice.
It's I'm 2 years out, but I don't care.
And if it's way too thick or something, you can eat those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can just get, yeah.
You always make use, Lulu, of every part of that garlic.
Well, because I have a small garden, so I make use of every bit of space. So
everything you got.
There you go.
All right, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. And Lance, things that you planted just recently or not too long ago are up, like your pintos?
The pintos are up and blooming. Mm-hmm. The peas are up. And I planted some 2 or 3 weeks prior, some snap peas because they handle the heat better than the snow peas. So I planted them just to see what would happen. And they're about 8 inches tall. And a little leggy right now, and I think it's just the heat and stuff. But, you know, I sprayed him with kelp. I mentioned that for heat, stress right. of different sorts. And then I just started that last planting of beets and greens and stuff for the fall harvest. I just started thinning that bed. You know, and I'm thinning just a first cent thinning. I'm thinning to about 2 inches, mm-hmm. and then I'll come back and thin again, you know, as they get bigger.
So those are your fall bed status.
Yeah,
report.
Yeah. The only thing that's really a nuisance in the garden this time of year, those late planted beds, is the robins are there and they're digging mm-hmm. the sides of the bed looking for worms.
Yeah.
And it collapses and it gets that outside row sometimes.
Okay.
So I'm going out there in the morning pushing the dirt back up, and the birds all day long are dragging it back out.
See, sometimes you can't win for losing.
Yeah. Yeah, and your robins are back. We were talking about robins a little while ago and not being as numerous. But
They came back and they had another nest, and those guys have flown the coop, and those are the ones in the garden. And the second nest I finally found, I have my grapevine trellises are made out of chokecherry stalks, long, you know, 10 and 12 feet long, and they're horizontal. And there's two on each side of the post, so it's makes this perfect brace, and that robin made it on the very top one, right, covered with grapevines and leaves. I was wondering where the nest was. Well, I finally found it.
Stuck right in there, nestled right in.
Yeah.
They did that on my grape arbor, too. They built a nest right on top, and I don't know if my cat scared them off or what, but they abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad, and they left the eggs.
Oh,
I know, it was really a bummer, but you know, but it there it was.
Yeah.
And now it's in my little barn witch's house
with
the eggs. And it was definitely abandoned.
Yeah.
They were definitely nowhere to be seen mm-hmm. for days. So anyway, it happens.
Oh, yeah.
I have goldfinches. I have a lot of goldfinches.
Yeah, lots of goldfinches right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're all, and I always let a couple of sunflowers go
mm-hmm.
in spite of the fact that they're going to stunt something. And they did. They stunted the beets that were near them. But they're beautiful, and they're on two parts of the garden where they just were perfect, you know, so I let them go.
Yeah.
I had to stake them up, though. They fell over. Mm-hmm. They're massive.
So tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trunk is, I can't get my fingers around the base of the trunk. They're huge.
Nice.
Yeah.
Normally, my sunflowers get huge in the corn patch, and they didn't this year.
What?
They were lagging stuff, and the cold corn patch is a little off, and I realize most of the time when I grow my corn, I don't fertilize it. It's in last where the beds were last year, and there's enough fertility there that I don't do any soil prep for it. Well, last fall I was doing it in another bed, so I dug all the bed out, and then I put horse manure in there and a cover crop of rye.
Oh.
And I think these old varieties of grains and plants really don't like extremely rich soils.
Interesting.
You know, these field old, this is an Indian corn, a blue corn.
Oh, there you go.
And they planted those like in floodplains and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's one of the things they did. And it was only what the floods, when the receded floods and the silts left, that was it. You know.
Wow. Right. So this year.
Right. So there you are. So this year is just all different in every way. Yeah.
And it's really funny to watch. It's a perfectly tall patch of blue corn, and then it just dips about 18 inches, and it climbs up because there's a big apricot tree, and all the roots are underneath
that bed.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
That the roots are sucking all that water.
Water, nutrients, and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I was just over at David's and Joanne's house, and for sure they've got this beautiful corn patch that's knee-high.
Mm-hmm.
It was knee-high at the 4th of July, and it's still knee-high.
Right.
It just
not
sort of
going anywhere.
Just sort of dead it off. And also, you guys, if you're listening, it's definitely a fungus, and we think it's on the came from the wood. And then the reason it's spreading into the rest of the garden is just the usual. It's sent out some mm-hmm. spores.
Yeah,
Lulu's got a sample of fabulous
stuff.
Fungus that she found.
A fungus among us.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's white and green, and it's really pretty.
kind of mushroomy, smelly.
It smells good.
Like.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, that's one of the things when you come across a mushroom or something and you smell it, and if it smells, you know, earthy and fresh and like that, then you know, I'm not telling you to eat it, but it's probably not going to kill you. Yeah. The ones that are going to kill you usually stink, like hemlock. You pick up you think you're going to eat a hemlock root and you think you're eating a white carrot. There's something really wrong with you because, you know, it's...
Don't smell like it.
No, and it doesn't taste like it either. Right. It smells like socks in an old locker room and it tastes worse. So.
You showed us a photograph of the bed with the fungus.
On the wood.
Where did that soil come from?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, because lots of times those composting industries mushroom compost added their soil mixes.
To bump it up and to make it go faster. And also, a lot of soil companies, whenever there's a hurricane or a disaster and a whole bunch of trees go down, that's what happens to a lot of them. They get ground up and put into a big compost pile and turned into dirt.
Yeah. That makes sense. It seems reasonable considering the picture. Okay, I'm going to give the phone numbers, and it's 527-486-8186-6 KBNF now, and it's David on the line from Paonia with a tomato question. Hi, David.
Hi, thank you. Hi. Trying to turn my radio off.
All right.
Here we go. Sorry about that. This is probably a boring but benign question, considering how good of gardeners you guys are. But I got something weird that happened this past week. My leaves on my tomatoes, I got three Romas and one round one that I can't remember the name of. But all of a sudden, the leaves curled up like I had done something wrong. So I'm really careful about the watering, really careful about 7 hours of sunlight, and it's not affecting the fruit, but it's like the plant is screaming at me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, this is hysterical because I actually was somebody named Steve. Steve, if you're listening, give us a call also. Was wondering what was going on with his tomato plants. So I have the book right here, and it's our old friend Malcolm Beck. And wait, Beck? Yeah, it's Malcolm. And if the leaves are curled and twisted, plants are stunted, it's probably a virus. Yeah,
It's not stunted. They're yellowing and curling.
Yeah. Well, it's this time of season. It's not going to be stunted.
Right. You can't stunt it. It's already
big.
It's big.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but I bet you it's a virus.
But we're still both thinking it might be a virus of some kind. And that southern, remember that? That southern leaf rot thing. Wait a minute. They were talking about that in here. Southern blight fungus. Plants suddenly wilt and die.
No. I think it's that.
But with no, like, you know, white stuff or anything, it's like nothing's growing on it. It's just giving up, but the fruit is doing really well. And I got these seeds that turned into plants from my daughter, who's in the center of town, and hers looks spectacular.
Well, there you go. So where are you?
It happens.
Right? There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I took my plants out a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know,
right?
Just
yeah, and then after I was talking to...
What's that?
What?
Curly top.
Oh, yeah, curly top. Okay, wait.
That's
right here.
From the sugar beet.
Yes, neutral. Yeah, you get the... that's right.
Do you have lamb's quarter around your yard?
I actually have a complete dirt plot that is 25 feet by 50.
Yeah.
So it's like a... San Rafael desert plot. And I was, really. Yeah. And I thought, well, could they get sunburned? Because I thought I heard a mention 2 weeks ago some plant, but I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, sunscald. But sunscald usually shows up on the fruit itself. is the thing with that.
Well, the fruit looks spectacular.
Yeah, well, then yeah.
You know what I would do is I would just fertilize with some liquid fertilizers, not high nitrogen, but just help for the stress level. Make Maxi Crop, which is a kelp derivative, you know, fish emulsion, something like that, and just let them ripen and go for it.
Yeah.
And I would discard the plant at the end of the season. Don't put it in your
compost. Don't put it in your compost pile.
Yeah. And next year when
I don't have one, so that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay.
And so when I go to Farm and Home, what do I buy? Just low nitrogen fertilizer?
Well, there's kelp, there's Maxi Crop, there's some of these kind of type of things. You want low nitrogen, and that way it'll keep it the stress level down. And
do you agree with Lulu that you think it has a virus?
Yeah, you might see if there's anything to fight that virus. I really don't know. I'm just one last thing is next year you can't plant tomatoes in that spot for 3 years.
Okay.
They're in a pot.
Yeah, well
they're not in the ground.
Okay. Well change the soil.
So I could change the soil.
Yeah.
Well. You'll be and you know
In the meantime, enjoy the tomatoes.
Yeah. In the meantime, just let it rip. And I was looking at my tomato plants today and going, oh, leaves aren't looking so great. You know what I'll do is I'll just prune them off.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I hate it when my plants look ugly.
Right.
So
you
I just
taking care of that action.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I
my daughter said maybe miss them, you know, if you're available at 8 p.m. Just maybe they're like surface dry. But I didn't know. That's why I'm calling you guys.
Another thing. Yeah, and that could encourage a fungal growth.
Yeah. Another thing is
especially at night. That's what I thought.
Yeah. The other thing you mentioned is it's in a pot. Potting soil is notoriously deficient in nutrients. So fertilizer.
Well, I had a little faith in Peonia.
Yeah, but still,
it's probably better than most. But
It may have been all right when we bought it.
Yeah.
You know what else? 6 weeks from now, it might be a little deficient. That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. And here's another idea too. Are the pots huge? What? How big are these pots?
They are.
Dun, 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 dun.
One is 5 gallons. One is 4 gallons. One is 3 gallons, and one is 2 gallons.
Oh, they're small.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that could be it too. And what you do is water, and make sure you see the water come through those pots and out the bottom. Because you just might be gypping them from water. And are the pots black? Mm.
No black.
No black? Okay.
No black mold. Not yet.
Well, no, not mold. But if they're in a pot and they're out in the sun, you could be wearing the roots out just from the heat and the intensity of the sun.
Yeah. You know, it could be. It's only an hour either way and a little bit of water either way.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You know what? Wow, you gave me the info I wanted. because these babies are beautiful, and they taste great.
All right. All right.
Well, just keep
thanks
going. All right.
Thanks for calling, Dave. Good question.
Bye. Oh, you thank you.
Have a good night.
You know? All right.
See you guys.
See you, bye.
Yummy. That sounds like he's got some good fruit going.
Yeah,
so
we right?
can salvage that.
Yeah, we should ask him where he lives.
Lives out in San Rafael Swell.
Right.
Hey, I've got I'll give the phone numbers 527-486-8186 KVNF now. But Tiffany from Ridgeway is emailing us and wondering if you guys can look at these photos. And she's lived in these houses, thought these were just ugly bushes, but this year they have fruit.
Oh, how fabulous.
Looks kind of good. What do you think? Plums.
It's a wild plum.
All right, Tiffany, there you have it. And she says no idea if edible, but I think
totally wild plums.
Just taste them until you get taste right. That's what you got to do. Every 3 days, taste another one.
Right, because they come on really erratic, and they aren't that fabulous tasting. I've always found. They're one of those things you like to bite into it, suck the juice, and spit the rest out.
Uh-huh.
That's how I do it.
That's
and every once in a while, I have a few places with wild plums, and they're really, good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like some of the apricots, mm-hmm. wild apricots, ugh. Sometimes they're really good, and then you get a place, it's so bitter and
yeah, and so mealy. Yeah. So. Right. So just see what you got and go for it.
Lance, you brought these plums mm-hmm. in. These are tender and juicy. What are these? They're little yellow.
They're yellow plums. I bought, it's called Faro or Faro, and it's a shisho type plum. It's a Japanese type.
Right, it's an okay. Asian.
Asian plum. And I actually read someplace, one of the catalogs, this was the plum I needed to pollinate the Santa Rosa and the Green Gage.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what I bought it for. And
the Santa Rosas that's that variety that came a long time ago and was super popular.
Yeah.
And then for some reason lost its popularity. Mm-hmm. But it tastes like God's own plum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're roundish. Not quite half the size of a baseball.
Yeah.
And they're dark purple and they're really good.
Yeah. I almost wish I had one of those. Maybe I should take that pear tree out and plant one of those. The plums never seem to have any trouble.
But plums are much hardier, much more disease and bug resistant.
Yeah.
And nice to have different varieties.
Mm-hmm. I think I had like 6 or 7 varieties of plums.
Right? I've got the Italian plums. And I swear to God, I don't know why there's any left on the tree. There's so many fell off in the last big wind.
Yeah. Let me see. I have the Italian. I have a German Fellenberg plum. I have the Green Gage plum. I have the Faro plum. The Santa Rosa.
Wow.
And then I have a new one that I don't know the name of.
No name.
No name.
No name plum.
Yeah. Yeah.
New kid on the block. What
How
the
did
hell
that
was
happen?
Good enough for a band?
Well, I just wasn't. Right. I wasn't interested in keeping the name. It's actually like a round prune plum.
Oh, you can just name that bush yourself.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to name it.
You'll be regular too mm-hmm. if you eat all those plums.
I'll be running.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. Oh, good one.
That's a good one.
Wow, Lance, that was really good.
Yeah, nice one. Plums are good for you, though. They're really high in iron.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for your blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got all that iron in them, and they're super digestible. And what more do you want, you know?
I don't know, but all this good food going in.
Yeah. It's right coming now. In right now. Yeah. It's making me hungry. Hurry
I know,
up. Is it time
like you
to
can't
go?
Eat enough.
You want to talk about plants can do without the water?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk a little about that because that's kind of an issue right now for a lot of people.
A lot of people, as water declines and stuff, you can start cutting back water on potatoes and onions if you're growing dry beans or field corn or corn in general. You can cut back on water on those. Let's see, irises.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't
worry about
that's iris. A good point. I
irises
was wondering
from
about
some
that.
Of the flowers. And
don't worry about your daylilies, Lulu. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or your the spring planted bulbs. Spring mm-hmm. bulbs are in dormant right now.
Okay,
you don't
so
need,
don't
need,
worry good to about know.
Those. You know, yeah. These some other food things: grapes, peaches, plums, apricots. They can do with less water. And stuff. And grapes, how you tell grapes are in drought mode is when the tendrils at the end of the vine dry up.
Oh, speaking of drying up tendrils, my temperate yam.
Yes.
What the heck, turtleneck? I kept that thing so wet.
Yeah.
And all the little flowers turned
mine
brown.
Did too. Mm-hmm. I was watering mine.
I think
mine.
It's the sun.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the sun and the dryness. It's from
so
Appalachia.
Too.
Oh, yeah, a lot more.
And I was thinking of mine, I'm going to dig that up and put it underneath the fruit trees or something where it gets some shade.
Mine gets early morning sun, and then it's in the shade, but I think it's still
too much. Just so high and dry here. Mm-hmm. It just that's mine did the exact, and I'm going, dang.
Dang, that's exactly what I said, dang.
Is it cinnamon vine? It smells, when it blooms,
it
smells like cinnamon.
It's heaven. Ooh. It bloomed one time for me.
Yeah.
So, and you know what else is? Mine is crawling on a metal fence.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that too. It just
kind
got
of the
too,
heat on that.
Just got, mm-hmm. The vines, the greens, everything else looks fine.
Yeah.
But the flowers just turned brown and said, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Gotta
worth
go.
Trying again, though, for
see
that
ya.
Scent.
Yeah. There's some other things that, Lulu, when we were talking, phloxes can be.
Yeah, don't worry about your phlox, Lulu.
And yarrow and comfrey and
sage.
Rhubarb.
Your sage, your rhubarb will look like it's over itself, but it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Comfrey, yeah, we talked about comfrey, mm-hmm. sage.
Yarrow.
The tarragon seems to be doing fine.
Yeah.
That's not bothered.
Asparagus. What about asparagus?
Well, I just thought asparagus in the spring needs needs water. But it's, you know, like technically if you've done what I just did, which is 18 inches down, those roots are not going to, they're going to be just fine.
They're
going to
mm-hmm. be fine. Yeah, that's another survivor.
Yeah.
What else?
Your basil's doing okay?
My basil's thriving, but it's in a pot and I can still get water to it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. My Lismachia, my moneywort, the ground cover that I want to use next spring in the hell strip out in the front, is really taking a hit. And I think I'll put a little water on that and get it going.
Yeah.
So.
Prioritizing.
Know, just time. Time's another one. Doesn't care if it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
A thyme can take it, sage. Well, heck, so can rosemary.
Yeah, even you'd be surprised at how hardy roses are.
Oh, roses are something else.
Just don't even worry about it. Yeah, they're fine. Oh, my God, I cut mine back, and I had Carly cut them back twice, and they're still coming on, and they look better than they ever have.
I agree. They're going crazy.
They look fabulous. So I'm gonna, but I want to keep them on. I still have to. Quince, don't worry about your quince.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do. All the forsythias, all those big bushes. If you have Maximilian daisies, don't worry about those.
Okay. They'll actually bloom earlier. If you stop
I'm pulling for. Yeah. Mine are beautiful. They're just huge right now.
Mine are in not quite the right spot. A little bit too much shade. You know, so I keep on saying I'm going to move them out of here, but they haven't happened yet.
That out.
Yeah. Daylilies, the daylilies, I still want to move those. Oh, you know what? I did have some brand new elderberries and I put water on those.
Mm-hmm.
Those are doing okay, but the established elderberries don't. That's fine.
Yeah,
everything's gonna make it.
All right, good advice.
Yeah,
and just a couple other
things I noticed in my garden this year is the bulb fennel really likes a lot of space. If you really want to get that big bulb, you need to have it 6 inches or farther in spacing.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, it
get that shape that you're looking for.
Oh yeah, that nice big flat. Flattened satin.
And so I've been thinning and thinning and thinning, and they're getting bigger.
And bigger. And bigger. Yeah.
It's like a goldfish. You keep putting it in a bigger bowl, and then all of a sudden you got it swimming in your bathtub going, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? There you go.
And then I also noticed that I always grow celery, and this year I actually not only had the celery that was started for me, by Zephyros Farms, but I also seed it out too. Mm-hmm. And normally the seeding stuff is pretty tenuous. Well, that patch did really good, but
it's just a weird year.
I found out I've been doing a little bit of hand watering every day because I'm planting stuff all the time. And so I was hand watering both of those celery plants patches every day. And not deep watering, just regular
hand. Just came into a little.
Yeah, and boy, they are loving it.
Oh, really? The hand watering.
The hand watering. They like the consistent moisture. Well, there are.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There are Mediterranean plant.
Yeah.
The river delta is going into the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. So all this water and all the nutrients coming down from those rivers.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's.
Speaking of
nutrients, no more fertilizing. No fertilizing. None.
Okay.
None.
I'm going to take all my compost tea and put it into gallon jugs and use it on the houseplants.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I still got all the stuff I've planted, so I will be still, you know, I got all my fall cabbage and things.
Oh, yeah, that stuff, yeah.
Thinking of water, you know, we talked about it. My well on this has happened in the past. On these dry years, after about watering for 3 to 4 hours, the first sprinkler starts spitting air.
Uh-oh.
So I just shut it off.
Done.
Yeah, and
to that point,
the spring down in the canyon, which I think I'm drilled into up on my place, is running just fine, but I'm taking out too much. So I just turn it off, let it go. That's it.
Right, fill back up. And,
to be continued.
Yeah. To be continued next week, next Tuesday, 6:30. Same time, same place. Hey, I do want to let people know. Remember, we were talking about the insect identification and pollination class happening down in Norwood. That was supposed to happen tomorrow, but they postponed it until next week, August 22nd. So 970-327-4393 for information on that insect identification pollination class. And it's DJ Leah Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective next. Thanks, callers. Thanks, listeners. Yeah. Thanks, worms. See you next week.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Have a nice evening.
Slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.